Welcome. I'm Michael Shalev. I'm a program manager with Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection.
Good morning, and I'm Heike Ritter. I'm a product manager in the Windows commercial team. And yeah, thanks for joining us this morning. How is the conference going so far? Yeah? Woo! just out of curiosity, who attended the Build conference earlier this year in March, I think it was? Wow, okay. Two people. and then who is already trying our new service, Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection? I want to see some hands now. Yeah, that's good. So this session will give you an overview, of course, because not everybody is already familiar with the product, but Michael will then also dive deep into our security portal to show you how you can do the investigations and all of this. So usually when we start this conversation, we set the stage talking about how bad the world is and how bad, like how the security landscape has changed. In this time, I think you watched the keynote. I think you have probably attended some of the security sessions already. So I'm making it short right now. So, but if you look at the one security vision that we have, it's all about protect, detect, and respond. So usually, let's say you have some malware on your box, it's good if you are protected with any AV solution, for instance. But what if there's no malware involved at all? So when we look at some statistics, we can actually see that in most of the cases when we see advanced targeted attacks, no malware is even involved. So your anti-malware solution will probably fail to actually detect and block and remediate this attack from your network. Also to consider is, do you really want to automatically block and remediate an advanced targeted attack? Usually not, because they are after you and you want to understand them. You want to understand what they're after, what they're doing before you take your next action. So I think we need to do more. So probably you have many other security solutions deployed, and they all give you a lot of signals, and probably with all the signals, there's a lot of noise, and you can't really find the alert in this noise. And then in other areas, you might not get enough information out of the box, so what's happening exactly here, what runs in memory, what kind of processes are getting created, and such. With Windows 10, if you look at our security stack, we added a lot of new security technologies in Windows 10, helping you to protect your client. Looking at those four pillars, we have identity protection, device protection, data protection, and threat resistance. Some of the technologies have been there before, but we also added many, many new capabilities in Windows 10. So those are all pre-breach solutions that help to make it very, very difficult to break the system. At some point, let's say, there will be a new attack and there will be a new zero day or something like this, or maybe misconfiguration, or your organization didn't deploy those security solutions. And this is when we come in and we say, you have to assume breach. And this is why we created Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection, or in short, WDATP. By the way, who's confused about the name? Oh, I expected more hands, because the common question that we get is, of course, what is Windows Defender, and is ATP just something on top of this? I will clarify this in just a moment. So if you look at all those security solutions, Windows 10, security is built in and not bolted on. So that means everything, of course, is in the box. Everything meets our performance requirements before we can actually really build it in and ship it. The same is true for Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection. So Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection is a new sensor that we built in Windows 10, and it's available in the anniversary update only. So all the versions before don't have this new agent. New agent also means it's not Windows Defender. So Windows Defender is our anti-malware solution. It runs side by side. If you have any other AV solution, it also runs side by side with your other AV solution. So Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection is not taking care of malware. We are looking at advanced targeted attacks. It's a behavioral-based sensor logging all kind of events, activities that are happening on the machine, send those data to the cloud. To the cloud means every customer has their own Windows Defender ATP tenant, so the data is separated, and there all the machine learning gets applied, and all our logic, security analytics happen in the cloud. And in the cloud is the portal as well, so you get access to your data, your alerts, your timeline, and everything that Michael's showing you in a moment. So built-in means there is no additional deployment required. It's funny, we had a session yesterday about onboarding and managing, deploying Windows Defender ATP to show you how easy it is. So if you want to learn more about that, I encourage you to watch the session afterwards when you're back home and you're bored and you want to learn more about Windows Defender ATP. So you can use group policies, System Center, Intune, all the traditional deployment tools that we have to manage and onboard Windows Defender ATP. It's on there. The only thing you need to do is turn it on and tell the client where to send the data to. So very, very easy and very simple. So, and then we have a very rich timeline for investigation. You can go back in time. So we give you some options when you onboard, how long you want to keep the data, and of course for this period you can go back in time to do your investigation. Sometimes it might happen that an attack gets only recognized a little later, so now you still want to go back in time and understand how did it get here, what did it do. And then I think Microsoft is in a unique position because we have unique threat intel. But let's have a video explaining to us what that means.
Microsoft has a unique perspective, powered by our intelligent security graph. We draw upon massive amounts of security information, signal from our products, global data centers, data we see across the internet and law enforcement. But data without insight is meaningless. With the intelligent security graph, we apply machine learning and behavioral analytics to find signal through noise, helping you shift from passive defense to active defense and offense, protecting endpoints from PCs to printers, servers to sensors. The world where a breach lay undetected for 200 days is no more. Vulnerabilities are detected in real time, protecting you from known and new threats, traditional opponents and new adversaries.
So I think the power here is really with all the different security solutions that Microsoft has, we exchange the signals. So if we know about something, of course, we give this back to our security intelligence graph. If another product finds something, knows something, it gives it back, and we all access the same information, the same data to make all our products work better together. So talking about better together, I would like to talk a little bit more about the integration that we just announced at our keynote. I assume everybody watched the keynote. I don't know, this is not moving forward here. Okay, no, thank you. So even though I was saying that Windows Defender is a different agent, it's our malware solution, and you don't need it to run Windows Defender ATP, it's still a better together because we integrate with Windows Defender. Meaning the dashboard and the portal that you will see in just a moment will also show you all the information that we get from Windows Defender or SCEP on your environment and bring them into the same timeline. So you get also information on all the malware threats that are happening on your network. So they're like little bugs telling you there was a malware, and then you can see other symbols that says, okay, it got remediated or not, or it's what happened on the box. So this is the integration with System Center Endpoint Protection or Windows Defender. If you want to learn more about our anti-malware solution, there's a talk today, I think it's... 1245. 1245, which room?
Right here.
35. Okay, don't come late. And it will show you all the improvements we made on the client and also with capabilities like cloud protection, and everything will be lighted up here in the portal. So, and then we also integrate with Office ATP. It's not moving. Can you please click for me? Thank you. So Office Advanced Threat Protection comes with Office 365 E5, and it looks at your Exchange online mailboxes, and it sends files and URL for detonation and tries to detect an advanced targeted attacks already at this point. So because most of the attacks starts with an email and user clicking attachment and stuff. So, but still, some of the attachments, let's say, they send them to detonation, but the file doesn't do anything for like 3 weeks. We don't keep the email for 3 weeks and then only give it to the user later. So there might still be attacks that get through, and then we come in because we are in the endpoint. And then in the portal, Michael will show you later how this actually gets displayed. So, and then another integration is Advanced Threat Analytics. Advanced Threat Analytics is currently an on-prem solution, and it's looking at activities that are going to your domain controller. So all kind of device activities or user activities, and you will easily understand if you have a compromised user. So, and our integration here means our Windows Security Portal has all the required links to directly point you to those other solutions. Let's say there's something in email, you will see, and you get directly redirected to this point in Office ATP to then investigate further who else received this email, for instance. Or if you want to learn more about a user, what is the user else doing here on my network? You click on the user and you go to ATA to understand that. So security is now more really a layer of different security technologies. It's not just one thing that helps you with everything. It's also, it depends on what you have and what, what you need. So, and then with that, I just leave this there, and then I hand over to Michael, who now will actually go a little bit deeper into an attack and investigation.
Thank you, Heike. Good morning. The FBI director went on record as saying, the question now is not if you've been hacked, but if you know you've been hacked. And the follow-up to that is, how long does it take you to realize you've been hacked? And I think in the past week or two, we've heard a bit about that in the newspapers. So I think it's time to stop talking about advanced attacks and how nefarious and problematic they are to detect and actually look at one. Click. Okay, standard scenario. Liz Bean works at Contoso. Right? She gets an email from her boss. She sees there's an attachment about a new customer opportunity. She opens it, says enable macros. Well, there are graphs, that's okay. Everything's normal. She starts reading the email, but actually it's not from her boss. And by clicking that, a file is now starting to communicate with the attacker, which you see on the right. And now the attacker is uploading some files onto her machine through a hidden window, and she doesn't see anything. Finally, the attacker is going to open a command shell, and now he's in complete control of the machine. And now the attacker is going to continue doing what he wants to do. So he's going to run ipconfig, no malware. Then he's going to find out more about Liz's logon server. And finally, he's going to start scanning the network and doing reconnaissance for his next hop. The attack we saw involves no malware. It took under a minute. And as far as Liz is concerned, as far as Contoso is concerned, nothing happened. If nothing happened, there's nothing to report. And this is the reason that advanced attacks can go undetected for long periods of time. Because if there's no malware involved and there's nothing to trigger a detection, how do you know that something happened? Let me take you into Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection and show you how it detects and lets you investigate these seemingly invisible attacks. So what we see here is the dashboard that lets you know if there are any new alerts that we've detected. And we see here there's a red alert. So let's go and take a look at it. What this alert tells us is that we've seen behaviors that we know to associate with a known attacker called NeuroBlaze. But who's NeuroBlaze? The whole concept in Windows Defender ATP is everything is a click away. If I want to know who NeuroBlaze is, I have built-in threat intelligence. And here we'll share everything we know about the attacker, what techniques they use, where they've been seen, who they target. So now I know a bit more about NeuroBlaze, but now I want to see what the impact on my network is. The incident graph will show you all of the evidence, all of the reasons we triggered this alert on this machine, but it will also show you its footprint across the network. So is this spreading? Because when we're investigating an incident, we want to know three things. How did it get here? What did it do? Where did it go? Once you answer those three questions, you've defined your scope of breach and the risk to your enterprise. So here we see that one of the files, the sysdebugger exe, yes? You're not seeing my screen. Well?
I would hesitate for PowerPoint because it's in presenter mode.
Sorry for that, and thank you for telling me. Wait. Wasn't hearing. The demo gods have joined us. Yeah. Here we go.
Do you think you can work with this setup?
Yeah, I can work with that setup. It's fine. So now let me show you what I was talking about. So we're on the same page. This is our portal. The portal tells you what the status of your network is. On the top left, and this is what we will really want to focus on, is what alerts have been raised by Windows Defender ATP. We go by color. I see a red alert. I drop everything. This is what I want to look at. So this tells us, well, I already talked about it, but now let me show you. Here's the built-in threat intel, including geographic dispersion, tools, techniques, and processes, et cetera. And here's the incident graph I was talking about. So this is the machine that was attacked, and these are the files or processes that were detected with anomalous behaviors and actually triggered the alert. So what we see is that each of these files, simply by clicking, I can see if they've spread anywhere else on my network, because this will help me define where it's gone, what the potential scope of breach is. So if we look at this file, which seems to spread the most, and we want to find out more about it, all we need to do is click on it. Now, this clicking and moving from one context to another, we call pivoting. So from now on, I'm just going to say, let's pivot to the file. What we're able to see when we pivot to the file is to really leverage our global optics. So at the top right, remember, we see over 1 billion machines a month. We know that this file has only been seen on 5 machines worldwide. If you go down a bit and you look at my organization, you see that it's been seen on 5 machines in my organization, which means 5 out of 5. So if you feel a target on your back at this point, you're right. Now, so we know it's targeted, and we know it's on my network, but now what does it do? What does it know how to do? What are its capabilities? Not every customer has the ability to set up an isolated network and do reverse engineering of malware. So we do it for you. We have a cloud sandbox where you can submit a file for detonation. What we do is we execute it in a fully censored sandbox, we record everything it does, and then we process that into an easy-to-read report so you can understand what the capabilities of this file are. So here we're able to see that this file communicates with an external address over an encrypted channel. Doesn't look that good. We see that it does a lot of environmental awareness. It's trying to check out, is it running in a VM, what's installed on the box, what's installed, and if it wants to run there, because in many cases, as Heike mentioned earlier, if I think I'm in a VM or a controlled environment, I'm not going to run, so I'm not detected. Finally, we see that in addition to persisting and surviving reboot in multiple ways, It also injects into system processes memory. Put these facts together, and you're looking at something that looks like a backdoor, and in any case, is not a nice file. So at this point, I have an idea of the fact that I'm targeted. I'm seeing that it's spreading, but now I want to really go back and see what it did. So all I do is I click and I pivot to the machine. So now I'm going to observe what we can tell you about that silent attack. And this is where the behavioral alerts really shine, because going from bottom to top, we'll lay out and tell you every stage of the attack. So the first one is word dropping and running an executable. That's this behavior. Then we see someone is running PowerShell with an encrypted command line. Then we see the reverse shell that the attacker opened on the machine. Here we see the persistence, and finally we see the port scanning. So even though we're not looking for files and we're not detecting malware because there's no detectable malware, we're seeing the attacker's behavior on the box in terms of the processes that are running, and that's what we're alerting on. So let's drill down a bit deeper and actually go back in time to the point in time where the attack began. What we see here is the alert and all of the related evidence. So whatever is highlighted is an event that's related to this alert. So if we click on the alert, it'll tell us why did we alert on this. And this is an experience that you might be frustrated in some cases where we tell you there's a bad file or there's an alert, but we don't tell you why. And here we're trying to explain so you understand the context of why we flagged this, because this will help you understand the attack and determine your risk. The second thing we do is, because we're Windows, we're able to correlate all the data, and this really enables the pivoting. So what you're seeing here is what we call the process tree. So even though the underlying event is creating a file, what we're able to do is take that event, correlate it with the entire ancestor processes, and build you the process tree. This provides a context with which you can understand something which by itself might appear to be innocent. I'll show you that in a minute. For every node in the tree, we'll tell you the file name, its hash, is it code signed, and by whom? Perhaps it's not code signed. And what was the command line that ran it? Because just seeing a file doesn't tell you what it did. And I'll show you that in a second with PowerShell. So going back, excuse me a second, I'll just back up 1 second because I want to show you one thing. The file that Word dropped is called install.exe, okay? Remember that for a second. Moving forward, we see PowerShell communicating with an external IP address. So when we expand the process tree, we see a couple of interesting things. First of all, we see the encrypted command line and using PowerShell to decode it, which is weird. Second, we see the external address. But now if we traverse up to the top of the tree, hello, we see the payload. What this allows you to do is every process tree in which you see install.exe is poisoned because that's the attacker's payload. And even though the underlying event might be as simple as Notepad writing a file, if it's being run by the attacker, he might be trying to exfiltrate data. Without that context, there's no way you're going to connect this Notepad event with the attack. So the power of Windows Defender ATP and our ability to correlate and let you dive deep is you can go in and see any behavior that happened around the time of the attack or one of the stages of the attack, expand it, and understand if it's connected. The next thing I want to show you is is actually going back into determining how it got here. So we've looked at where it went in the incident graph. With a timeline, we can see what it did. But now we want to answer the third question and understand how did it get here. So if we look at this and go back in time, we see actually that in this process tree, Outlook launched Word, and it opened a document from the Outlook cache. So this indicates that it was probably an attachment. And lo and behold, beneath that, we have the behavior that says that Outlook actually saved an attachment to disk. Now, through our integration with Office 365 ATP, we're able to tell you not only what the attachment was, but also show you the details of the email within the timeline. We've gone a step further and allow customers who have both Windows Defender ATP and Office ATP to actually click through on one of these Outlook-related events and go directly into Office 365 ATP. And what we see here is the day and the number of people that received that attachment. In addition, if you look at the top right, it's marked as a behavioral detection, which means this isn't known malware, but we've exchanged a signal with them through the intelligent security graph saying this is related to an attack. And what they do with that is actually go into the recipients, and although Liz Bean, patient zero, received it, and that's what we based the behavioral detection on, they immediately block it from the other two inboxes that also received this email with the attachment. Now, if you think about it, this is giving us a lot of information, because even though the other two recipients never got the file, we now know that NeuroBlaze is targeting them. And if NeuroBlaze is targeting them, and these are persistent attackers, they might have got at them in some other way. And so through the integration, we can now pivot back across systems and go into one of the recipients' machine in Windows Defender ATP and see is there any indication that NeuroBlaze might have gotten there. And now the third part of the dive deep and the context we provide is also the user context in which any process is being run. And what I want to do here is now filter for a moment and only focus on logon users. When I filter on logon users on Roger Andre's box, the first thing that sticks out is that Liz Bean's user has been used to log into this account. Now that is strange. And through our integration with Advanced Threat Analytics, I'm able to pivot again on the user into identity, go to their portal and see that indeed there are two suspicious alerts on Liz Bean's identity. The first is the anomalous logins, which correlates with the spread of the files across the machines in the network we saw in the incident graph. And the second is even worse, is that this identity was used on yet another machine to perform remote execution on a domain controller. And at this point, through the integration, I can say, I want to see what else happened on that launch box to launch this attack. And again, simply click and pivot through back to that machine in Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection. So at this point, I want to recap a bit on what we've seen. What we are able to do because we correlate is connect the dots for any data point will allow you to go to the profile, will give you everything we know from our global optics and local optics to allow you to correlate and understand how much of a targeting experience you're undergoing at this moment, and will allow you to pivot on any data point. You can pivot on an IP, on a file, on a machine, and even go cross-system to continue your investigations in one of the other ATP solutions. At this point, I want to travel back and try and go here. So let me... Hold on. Okay, I think we're good. All right. So our first and biggest customer is Microsoft. And our Cyber Operations Defense Center and our security operations are our biggest users. And we asked them, what are the three things, what are the top three asks you have from a system like this? What do we need to deliver to make your job easy and successful? The first thing they said was awesome alerts. They want us to provide alerts that they will not get anywhere else. They want us to allow them to detect things that fly under the radar. And by including our behavioral alerts, we're able to do that. Because remember, if before we were looking at indicators of compromise or certain files or certain IPs or certain URLs, now we're not. Now we're saying everything is possible. What we're looking for is what an attacker would do if he actually managed to get on a box. And the way we're doing that is we're working with our own defense teams, we're working with our own red teams, and the red teams are our offensive teams that actually do pen testing against all of our products, but no holds barred. And then we sit down with them and analyze all of the attacks and all of the techniques they're using. And with them, we define what the patterns of behavior we want to identify are. And then we go and we test this against our data. So in addition to being able to alert on something that is PowerShell, is Command Shell, is an abuse of SVC host, we also will tell you why we flagged it. So we add a semantic layer of behaviors that will explain it, not just say SVC host alert. That's number one. Number two, they said, the second thing they said was pivot wide. Now, pivot wide has two aspects. This actually is the second, but we'll work back to front. Pivot wide means allow me, through integrating across ATP services, to cover the entire kill chain. So by including Office ATP, we're able to see the delivery vector and actually URL, email, et cetera. We're able to get intel from that and use it to move over into what we actually see on the endpoint, which is installation, communication with the command and control, persistence. And once they move beyond that and they start working on the network level, we're able to integrate with advanced threat analytics and start seeing, is anyone trying to do anything with credentials? Is anyone working against the domain controller? Are there any identity-related alerts that their analytics can tell us about? And if you recall all the clicking and pivoting I did, at any point in Office 365 ATP, or Advanced Threat Analytics, or Windows Defender ATP, if there is a connection to the other service based on identity or email, it's just a click away. There we go. Weird. Okay. The second pivoting, and I'll talk about it even though this slide is up, is the able to pivot wide on a machine. So if I'm on a machine investigating an attack and I see a file that might be a dropper that wasn't part of the alert, and I click on that file, when I go to the file profile, I'll see all the machines it was ever observed on. And from that file, I can then pivot onto the machine. And if on the other machine I see an IP, I can use that. So the investigation process puts you really in the driver's seat. So even if you have your own indicator, you have an IP that you got a tip that one of your machines was beaconing out to, or there's a file that you got on a threat intel feed, you can put it in the search box, you'll see where the file is, if it is on your network, go to the box, see the context in which that file was seen. Was it run? Was it only written to disk? What happened with that file? And you can use this to drive your own investigations. So you're not only dependent on the awesome alerts that we give you, but you're also in the driver's seat. In terms of dive deep, that was their third ask. So it was awesome alerts, pivot wide, and dive deep. Dive deep is really something that I think that as Windows, we're in a great position to offer. And that is, when you focus on a part or a time on a machine, you can open up the filter and you can see what process creation events happen. You can see what registry events happen. You can see the details of every command line. You can see all the file writes. So the deeper you want to dig, we expand the filter. You can expand the filter going from detections to behaviors to raw events. And you can identify exactly what happened on that machine, even though that machine might have been wiped since then. For example, another one of our alerts is if a process tries to erase its parent. Because malware, certainly advanced attacks, try to clean up after themselves and leave no signs. But we have a black box on the endpoint. And the black box allows you to go back in time and see the file creation even though it's already been deleted. Okay? So bringing these strings together, these three things together, this is what Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection gives you. As Heike mentioned, it's part of the operating system, so deployment is really configuration. We are bringing the power of the intelligent graph to give you the data, as well as connect you to the other services we have. And I think, to end, I'll let our customers do the talking. And here's some quotes from our customers. As I said, cyber operations, cyber defense operations are our biggest customer. And I think this quote says it all. So the majority of detections that we see and the incident cases that we open on Microsoft are generated by Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection. Heike? You're off? Okay. Okay, so Pella, which is another one of our customers, highlights the fact that the sampling that we offer in terms of pivot-wide across the network, as well as the information we give them from our global optics, allow them to do investigations in ways that before they couldn't. Third? This is another interesting use that we've seen UBT and other customers do, and that is even if they're pivoting off a malware detection because they use Defender, this tool allows them to build a forensic case because they can then go to that machine and see this malware was detected, go back in time, how did it get there? What else happened on that machine? And actually they're using this to collect evidence to augment or actually enrich the cases that they're managing within their companies. And this, we didn't think about it as a forensic tool, but our customers are teaching us all the value that they can achieve from this tool that we might not have thought.
So, and now some call to action for you. For everybody who has not yet signed up for our trial, I would like to invite you to sign up for it. Just go on aka.ms/WDATP. I created that one, it's easy, right? And the current trial experience, let me explain it a little bit to you. We will create you a tenant using our own Azure AD account. So we also pre-populate some data for you because it's funny. So customer like, oh yeah, I tried it out, but it's empty. I can't see anything. That's good. We don't want to have like all those bad guys on your network, but you want to see it. You want to do some investigation, of course. So this is why we pre-populated two attacks, so that you can actually do some investigation. We also give you another attack package because maybe you want to onboard some of your test machines and try it out, and then let an attack run on one of those machines and then see how fast we throw the alerts and give you the insights into this attack. We will have a new trial experience probably in about a month. This one will then be able to, you will be able to migrate it into a production environment because then we will use your Azure AD account. So you just need a simple Azure AD account. It's not about premium or something, or you don't need to have your user, a computer account synchronized to your Azure tenant. So it's really just about the account who then has access to the portal. So this will come probably in a month, but you can use this trial for now. Some of the questions that I'm getting is, how do I get this service? So it's a new license in Windows. So we have Windows 10 E3, which was Windows 10 Enterprise. And we now have, we just aligned with Office and other services to make it easier. So E3 is Enterprise. And we have E5, so this is Enterprise plus Windows Defender ATP. And then you sign up through your volume license, sister service center, and from there you sign up, you onboard, and everything is covered in the other session that I mentioned earlier, like the onboarding and manage Windows Defender ATP. And I think with that,
Yes. Just one last remark. The do-it-yourself attacks that you can run on your machines or your demo machines, they're benign.
They're not NeuroBlaze.
So we'll flag them, but we wrote them. They're benign. No worries. You're not going to get alarms setting off and bells and whistles. So
yes,
rest assured.
Of course. But I mean, we have many, many customers trying this out, and many customers are actually running their own attacks and tools and everything to see what the service is capable to do. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I think with that, thanks for joining us this morning, and I hope you have a great rest of the conference and a great party tonight. We have a booth. We are down at the One Microsoft security station, so not at the Windows booth. We are at the security area, and we have the demo for you there. We can help you out with any other questions.
And since we're ahead of time, if there are any questions, first,
4 minutes.
Please... if you submit evaluations, this is feedback that we take and we incorporate back into the product. So take advantage of it. If there are any questions, there are mics. And we're ahead of time.
So yeah, please use the mic because otherwise nobody will, but that's recording. But we close the session for now, and thanks for joining us. Because people are leaving.
Yes.
Have any states requested your service?
So you mean a government?
Yes.
I don't know.
We talked about this. So the customers that apply are covered by, we don't talk about customers except for ones that that have agreed to share their quotes, et cetera. That's just in terms of customer confidentiality. Yes.
Clarification, do you say we need a Windows 10 E3 license or an E5 license?
E5. It's an add-on, so if you have E3, for instance, you can add it on top. So, yeah.
Regarding the capabilities with Office 365 ATP,
yes.
Is there any technical reason why that doesn't work with Exchange 2016 on-premise?
If you have the ATP, so if you have the online... So we work with the service of Office 365 ATP. If you're subscribed to the service on your on-prem Exchange, it works because it works, it's internal to them. So well, if you have the protection in Exchange on-prem, we can exchange. We work with Office 365 and they can exchange signals. I suggest you go to their booth and ask them, because I asked them that yesterday just in terms of the on-prem, and he said yeah.
Because what I mean is like the where it can go and delete, if it detects a file, it can go and remove that attachment from Exchange mailboxes,
but
it only works on 365, not on-prem.
So if you have the Exchange online protection or whatever the on-prem version of of Office 365 ATP is, it will work.
So you can do that on-prem too?
Yes, so they can do it. I mean, we exchange signals in the cloud and they do it.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
How you doing? Is the Defender cloud analytic option a requirement for the ATP? So like, you know, like in your regular Defender client that's already on the desktops or whatever, do you have to install, do you have to enable that cloud protection for this to...
No. So in general, it's separate from Defender.
Okay.
It's just the brand. So it's Windows Defender ATP. You can think of it as Windows ATP. There's no requirement to have Defender or to configure Defender in any way. Okay. So if you have Defender, turn on Cloud Protection because you're getting a lot more security when Cloud Protection is on.
So
but that's a Defender, but that's a Windows Defender issue, and come to the session.
And also, if you have Windows Defender ATP and Windows Defender Cloud Protection turned on, all the signals get displayed in the portal as well for you.
Oh, gotcha.
So that was the integration piece. So you need the Cloud Protection turned on for that.
Thank you.
So I love what I'm seeing here with Windows. Any thoughts on Linux?
So we are currently thinking and investigating the cross-platform options.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Going. Oh, yep.
Sorry, just you were talking about how to get it. If you're on E3, do you then have to upgrade to E5?
Yes.
That's the only way. You can't kind of buy it separately on its own? Okay, perfect. Thank you.
So there's an E5 SKU or an add-on to E3, from E3 to E5.
Okay, bolt-on.
Yeah. Thank
you. Windows Server.
Windows Server, so this is built into the core of Anniversary Edition, so Windows Server at the moment isn't, but if you have Defender on it, you can have all the signals from the server come up through the portal. So you can still
from
take
Defender,
it
not the from ATP signals.
From Defender, but you can use the pivoting and investigation of ATP.
We are looking into
server.
Yes.
Yes, definitely. It's just that it's built into the Anniversary Edition and that hasn't hit server yet. Any more or?
Yeah.
Will the session be online?
Excuse me?
Yes.
Yes, it will be.
I heard they're like uploading the session next day already, so I was surprised.
On YouTube already.
What?
Yeah.
You did it?
Yeah, they did my channel on YouTube, so I got some of them already.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes.
Great. Good to know.
It's about on-premise licensing.
Excuse
Windows
me?
10, the on-premise licensing, when you have, we are an educational or organization, so we have the campus agreement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we don't have it included in the education offering right now. So it's available in the education SKU, but there is no special education package or pricing or something like that. So
okay,
it's so we are looking into these options now because the issue is it's still a huge value for education, but you have probably, I don't know how many thousands of users actually really accessing your network. We can't just give it for free, and we are looking into the options right now.
Okay, thank you.
If you have the Windows 10 education, you have to go to Windows 10 Enterprise Middle Level.
There you go.
So you need the E5 license, but if the client is on education, that's fine. So it's built into education, professional,
yeah,
and enterprise.
Yeah, you don't have to change the version. It's built into education, professional, and enterprise.
Yeah.
It's just the
it's
E5
just
license to turn on the service.
Right, yeah. And
anyone
we don't
else?
Have a special license for education right now. It's still E5, same price, everything. So, but
okay.
We are working with our education marketing team and pricing team to...
Okay. Thank you very much. If there are any more questions, we'll be at the booth, but we have to get out of here because we're over time. Thank you.
What time is the session this afternoon?
The SCEP session?
12:35. 12:35.